it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike and I were just talking. Apparently, we're going to get a dose of this coming up a little bit later on when we find out what's on Day-Day's mind. But we were just saying, you would have thought last night, by the way, they won the World Series. You would have thought they won the World Series. It's one game.
I never get up early, and the dogs were just – they were itching to get outside. So 6 a.m., put on SportsCenter. 10 minutes on the freaking Yankees.
Unbelievable.
I think let's go to – what's his name again? Eduardo Perez.
Yes.
By the way, FSU alum, by the way. But I think this is an example of Aaron Judge exorcising the demons.
What?
You haven't won yet. Toronto's in the driver's seat. They got a rookie. They're really rolling with Schlittler. We got to be careful how you pronounce that.
Correct.
But you got a guy that they're really leaning into that he's got to have to step up. But Toronto, now, if you're the Blue Jays, you're kicking yourself. You blew a 5-run lead. I mean, they were just knocking it out of the park and just running circles around the base pass. Yankees did show some pride and some gumption. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. All ESPN knows, Yankees, Red Sox, Cowboys, LeBron. Yankees, Red Sox, Cowboys, LeBron.
Rinse, repeat.
Rinse, freaking repeat.
Yeah.
And I'm just – and there's just – but there's nothing else to watch. You got nothing else. And then you get to the talking heads on the argument shows. It's the same stuff. Throw in Rex Ryan, who, by the way – apparently, there's now this could be Rex Ryan leaking this to somebody.
What's that?
They're connecting him to the Dolphins job, which isn't even open yet.
Oh, it's open. That job is definitely open.
Mean, talk about a 180 in culture to go from Coach Bra to Sexy Rexy, the foot doctor.
That's interesting. But, yeah, it probably is him leaking. You know right. You know how Rex works.
Right.
Here's what I'll say about this. I just Mike and I were laughing because we were in the break doing the Eduardo, the impression.
I wish I could clear my throat.
Yeah, I wish you could too. Judge 3-for-4 with an intentional walk, scored 3 times, made some critical plays with his gloves. The crowd was chanting MVP. Let me just say
he
this.
He made a running catch coming towards the ball. He just didn't butcher it like he did in the World Series.
Exactly. But it's about time, Aaron. You've needed moments. You haven't had them. Your postseasons have been bad. It's why you are not a legendary Yankee yet. So this was a big moment for him, and he's 7-11 in the series. That's 636 with 5 RBIs, 3 walks. You need a series like this. Here's the thing, though. Lose, and it doesn't mean anything. So you still have to play tonight, Mike, and he's got to do special things. But that was the thing that was bugging me. It was literally like Aaron Judge just saved the world. Are you serious? He had a good game.
Like, he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. Aaron Judge, let's go Yankees. Derek Jeter. Oh, God. Please, Toronto, smite them. Please, Toronto.
And you know what? They did blow it. They're going to kick themselves if they lose this series.
I mean, they were absolutely just stomping. They had all. And I love the reaction fans of the Yankee. This one Yankee fan with a neck tattoo. That's always a good look. But you had all these Yankee fans. They were showing
at least it wasn't a teardrop. I mean, come on.
Attica. Attica. But anyway. Just please let the Yankees go down, please.
Hey, man, I want to remind you guys that you can get all your games. You can count on Paramount Plus, guys. Sundays with the NFL on CBS, Paramount Plus. Watch the local NFL games live every Sunday all season long. That's ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We are live, by the way, Buffalo's Cafe, hanging out here in Hiram. We'll be here until 6, having a good time. And we know some of you folks are on the way because everybody's 10 minutes away out here in Hiram because that's what we've been told. Literally like, hey, where do you live? I'm 10 minutes away. Yeah. Hey, where do you live? I'm 10 minutes away. Oh, okay. So everybody's 10 minutes.
Right. The 18-wheeler had to pick a lane. I was coming up the highway, getting off Thornton Road.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, come on. He's driving the 18-wheeler like he's driving me in the Corvette. Like, left lane, right lane. Come on. Dude, just stay in the right lane for crying out
loud. You know what, though? Those drivers, I hate y'all, by the way. I know I love you. I mean,
we know you all listen. But, yeah. We got a lot of truck drivers listening to Dukes
but
and Bell.
But they drive those trucks like, I know you're going to move. They will get over, and you're like, yo, I guess I'm moving out of the way. They do not care.
Right. Especially coming up at 285 to 20, giddy up, man.
Yeah.
Head on a swivel.
Yeah.
And by the way, do you prefer?
Brother's like, I'm going to wreck the truck. It ain't mine anyway.
Now, Are you worried about the robot trucks? Because that's up next.
What?
Because we got this Waymo all over Midtown Atlanta and the
robot
city.
Trucks.
Well, they don't do meth. They don't get off the highway to hook up with like hookers in the truck stops. You know.
So you're saying it's a saving?
I'm just saying the liability issues. Now again, it's a little disconcerting to know that there's a couple of 100,000 pounds of truck coming down the road with a robot or automated driver.
Mike, I don't like it. You know, I told you it freaks me out when I roll up in Midtown and at those Waymos and I look over and there's no driver and I'm like, where's the driver?
Right.
I do not want to look up at an 18-wheeler and not see anybody in the driver's
but
seat.
But what was the Bruce Willis movie? It's a great – Gordon Levitt plays the younger version of him. He goes back in time, and they kind of already captured that. They had driverless trucks on the highway and stuff.
Looped?
You know the one I'm talking about?
Looped?
Yeah, Looper.
Looped.
Yeah,
Looper.
Looper. That's the one. That's a great play.
That's actually a good movie.
But they had that in that. It's actually pretty cool because you're playing like a young Bruce. Gordon Levitt basically doing a young Bruce Willis impression. But they had that. That was one of those things in the future. And here we are.
Yeah. I don't dig it, man. I don't like it. Have you taken one of those?
No, I refuse.
No, but let me tell you something. In Arizona, so like certain states that are like kind of designed perfectly for them, Arizona, one of them because it's so flat and long roads. Everywhere. Waymo.
Really?
Everywhere.
Taking over.
Yes.
Oof. Cab driver's mad as hell.
No, that's I had me and the dude, the Bucks game last year in Tampa, where we won it. We're going to downtown. That's where we ran into Baker Mayfield at American Social in the Inner Harbor. And I'm telling this guy, he's like, and he was from the Caribbean, and he's like joking around about, yeah, man, I let the car do the driving. Like, no, please don't do that. He goes, hey, sir. He goes, the computer's been driving the last 20 minutes.
You didn't even know.
I'm like, Yeah. And he showed me because you see on the screen, I'm sorry for people that have a Tesla, but you can see how it sees everything. People at the intersection, pedestrians, the cars, the whole thing. But it still freaks me out.
I'll say this. Then we got to talk some NFL, and we will. Coming up, by the way, Falcons facing the Bills. We'll get into a more Falcon conversation and what's on Day-Day's mind a little bit later on this hour. I posted a video maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I don't know. I post different stuff. And it was a guy who was in one of those self-driving cars that had lost control.
Yes.
It lost its brakes. And you want to just talk about freaking you out. Like, it sounds cool. Like, I'm going to let the car drive itself. I'm going to get on the computer, make some calls.
Right.
This guy is on the highway. He's literally – you see him pumping the brakes. He's telling people, I can't stop the car. People are, like, filming, like, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
And he starts praying, right? Now, thank God nobody got killed.
Right.
But finally, the car hits the median, spins out. He gets hit by another car.
Oof.
And come to find out, like – he couldn't stop it. So I got a buddy who has one of those Teslas, and he's like, yeah, there's emergency levers, and you can pull, and the door open. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I don't even want to try or test that.
Right. So if I'm going to go for a ride, one of those, I'm going to have one of those, like, sumo suits so I can just jump out of the car?
I'm just telling you, like, on the big Tesla trucks, because he has one, he's like, yeah, you pull this lever, and it stops. But to your point, for those, everybody who has them.
I know people love them.
They love them. They love them.
And it's funny. I had a guy. I mean, of all the things I've said on the radio over the years, the thing that I got the most hate texts over was when I said how I didn't like the Cybertruck. I think it looks stupid. People, it's like Tesla's almost like a religion. The guys, the devotion to the technology.
Yeah, that's
true. I get it. And I know the torque, and you can blow anybody off the line, but I just don't, the aesthetic, I just don't dig the truck.
No, I'm with you on that. There's certain things, I like and I don't like. I don't like the way it looks, but the performance of it, everybody rants and raves about it.
Right.
All right, man, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. More car talk coming up here on the show in just a little bit. And your phone calls. We will fix your vehicle.
Got to fix a carburetor on your old Merc coming up.
All right, man.
I'm not taking you home, bro.
yeah, that's the other problem.
Welcome. You thought you were going home.
What?
Yeah.
Why are these doors locked?
I'd rather drive in the car for the movie Christine than be in one of those Waymos.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's my fear right there. Stop the vehicle. All right, man. Let's talk some football and get to 4th and 1. Mike, what do you make of this Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts meeting with A.J. Brown?
Hey, I think it's kind of a cool thing. You just wish that it didn't get public, that the Philadelphia media's got their teeth into it now. Mm. Where it's like, what did you say? Did you say him to tell him to grow up? But, I mean, no, because you got – and we said this the other day. You got a guy who's a tremendous asset for the team. You're paying him $32 million, and the usage rate is criminal. So this is something that you'd think Sirianni – now, if Sirianni is maybe instigated this, or this is simply leadership. Great from Jalen Hurts, from Jalen and Saquon to get with AJ and probably say, hey, man, we got a great football team. Yeah, I know things haven't been maybe near where they should be with you on the field contributing, but we don't need another soap opera like last year, and they still won the Super Bowl.
They did.
So maybe trying to get ahead of it, if that's the case.
Yeah, look, by the way, Saquon was pretty adamant. Like, this wasn't a team meeting where guys were screaming. He says, I talked to everybody. I talked to O'Lyman. I talked to different guys. You guys just happened to see, whoever saw it,
right,
us talking to A.J. Brown, and then, you know, they ran with it. But I think he needs to be talked to. Look, you're posting Bible verses and cryptically expecting people to read your mind.
Right.
It's a little bit childish. I'm not talking about your beliefs. Do what you want to do. But when you have a team, there was a commitment, Mike, to the team. You do something, you're screwing the team. It's not just about you. And so for AJ, I think that was more of the conversation. Is like, look, you're going to get your touches, but stop putting this crazy stuff out there, man. And then, you know, everybody's trying to decipher it. Now, again, here we are answering questions about, well, what did you think about AJ and what he posted? I have no idea.
Right. And I just think that, you know, if you watch the Eagles, they've got the formula. They got the pieces. Jalen Carter, by the way, a little banged up. We'll talk more about that later in the week with the injury report. We get to the picks. But the Eagles have got the formula. There's nobody who's perfect right now. The Eagles were. There's nobody undefeated. But they got the formula. They got I mean, Sirianni, as close as he was getting fired 2 years ago. You know, they got great pieces. You got a guy in Saquon that's a difference maker. And I think, you know, now the thing is, Jalen Hurts does do things which make people say he's not elite, whether it's Ryan Clark, the talking heads on ESPN.
Right.
But he always seems to pull it together when it matters most, doesn't he?
He does. And look, I don't expect the Eagles to fall off. They've been able to handle this kind of stuff.
There's another guy like this called Eli Manning.
That's right.
You know, I mean, come on.
No doubt. Hey, man, meanwhile, Jonathan Gannon got fined $100,000 for that altercation.
Oh, come on.
They're calling it an altercation. How did you view that?
Brushing a guy, you basically said your piece.
His head coach.
Right. And you stormed off and you did the pow and you smacked your arm into his arm. You didn't swing on him. You didn't, you know, if he was wearing a helmet, you didn't grab his face mask and things like we would do in high school. I think this is some candy ass stuff. I really do.
I do too.
I think you're trying to create a culture of accountability in a town where they've run off a really good coach in Cliff Kingsbury. Quarterback's kind of a prima donna. You need to have some accountability on that team. I don't think that sends the right message. Amari DiMarcato did one of the stupidest things you could ever do. And I'm sorry, you blew the game. You cost me a football game between the fumble turnover and recovery by the Titans. You would have been up 28-6 if he just carries the football another yard. So for the coach to lose his cool, hell yeah. Could you imagine a Vince Lombardi, a Tom Landry, a John Madden, if somebody pulled that crap back in the day? I mean, that's why I just think we're soft. I think it's soft, and I think the Cardinals shouldn't have fined him.
I agree.
I think unless they're scared of the Players Association making a beef and trying to get ahead of it.
My question to you guys is this. How should a coach handle that? He just cost you the football game. Instead of his teammates hugging him, they should have waited to beat him up in the locker room. Like, seriously. That's what really – we're keeping it real? That's right. What should have happened.
Watch the video. Some guys are consoling him. Other guys are yelling at him. Because, so it wasn't like it was uniformity on that sideline.
Because part of this is accountability comes where your teammate – it's not just, bro, it'll be all right. No, it's not all right. I'm out here busting my tail, man. We're this close every week to winning. And the Cardinals are losing games like this every single week.
Right.
Do your job, bro. Do your job. Like, he should have been gotten into, and everything that the coach did, Jonathan Gannon, I totally agree with you, Mike. Like, I just asked that question. For you coaches out there, we're talking about professional football. We're not talking about peewee. We're not talking about middle school. How should he have handled this? Should he have just stayed cool and then, well, he should have did it in the locker room. Man, that's the problem. Everybody wants to do stuff behind closed doors. Embarrass him because he just embarrassed you.
Right. I saw our buddy Armando Salguero covers the NFL from down in Miami. He says, if you're that mad, just cut him. Well, the guy's got a skill set. But if you got to – there's something to be said for yelling at him. And I thought the way that these folks characterized it, it wasn't like Woody Hayes. Like,
correct.
He came over to the side like, hah! And he clotheslined him.
True.
You know, or he took a helmet and bashed him over the head with it.
It wasn't
He yelled at him, and he brushed against him. Oh, give me a – are we that soft? Yeah, I mean, I know the answer. Yes, we are that soft in 2025.
Yeah, it's crazy. Bengals reportedly did not make calls to the Giants about acquiring Jameis Winston, or Russell Wilson. Surprised?
No, because, Mr. Unlimited?
Because we talked about this yesterday. If you're looking for a quarterback, the Falcons should have been your first phone call. Now, whether it happened, we don't know, but this report is out there now that they didn't even call the Giants, and you got – at least Russell played this year.
I saw that. Now, did you see – I think it was SI or USA Today. the Falcons, the number, and the Bengals didn't have enough money. We wanted them to eat a big chunk of Kirk Cousins, if that, in fact, is accurate. So Flat goes with the Bengals, and Zach Taylor says, yes, he's going to start against the Packers.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, coming up, speaking of the Falcons, things to think about when facing the Bills. We will dive in next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. Smoke Some hits us up on social media. I wonder what he likes to do. He says, y'all tripping, man. Y'all tripping on this incident that happened with the Cardinals. He goes, at the end of the day, it's just a damn game. Y'all always talk about guys bouncing back, having their teammates' backs. We've seen plenty of guys get consoled because of mistakes. Cut it out. No. Certain things require a certain response. This was a situation that did not have to happen. This was a dumb – guys, you're about to score a touchdown to put your team in total command, and you drop the ball before you cross the line, and you think that that's more important than scoring the touchdown so you can celebrate? Some things require a bigger response. This is a different deal than just right. It's a game.
Mr. Smokes on this, you've smoked too much, and your brain is mush because it's accountability. It's personal responsibility. I don't know much about you. I don't know what your story is. Maybe you're not into personal responsibility and accountability. But it was a big moment in the game. And, Carl, this isn't a missed assignment.
Correct.
You know, like you whiff on a block, you know, or bad technique and a pass interference penalty results in a big flip of the field. This is something you totally control. You're motoring down the field. You're making a big play. And then, you know, they were talking about Amari DeMarcado for the Cardinals. And you do stupid stuff. It was stupid when DeSean Jackson did it in 2008. It's subsequently been stupid when it's happened in college. And I'm sorry if it's not politically correct in 2025 to say, hey, that guy made a stupid mistake.
Go look.
And it's okay for the coach to scream at him and brush his shoulder against them.
Yeah, go look at how they lost against the Seahawks. Then go look at how they lost against the 49ers. Their last three games have been mistakes like this. That is why the coach went off.
And you need to change the culture.
That's right.
The culture starts with accountability. Not, oh, I'm, you know, Amari, that happens to everybody. No, it happens to morons.
Does.
Okay?
Does.
And I'm sorry that maybe somewhere in your life no one's ever called you a moron. I've been called a moron when I've done stupid stuff.
Gas bag,
my
too.
Dad has smacked me around. I'd like to say I've been called worse by better. But no, because Chipper is a Hall of Famer.
True.
You really can't say even.
Yeah.
Chipper, class act as always.
Oh, is that me talking to Chipper on the show?
Now, Chipper
it's
does.
Amazing.
Chipper had some selective amnesia that he never remembers coming on our airwaves, let alone
appreciate
that's
crazy. You today. Thank you so much, man.
Wait, that's Chipper
that's
on our show.
That's
wait a minute.
Chipper Jones.
Chipper, he totally disavowed us along with his
Hall
time
of Famer
joining the
Chipper
steakhouse.
Jones joining us here on Dukes and Bell.
Wow. I remember introducing him coming on this show. It's crazy. It's crazy. All right. Real quick. We have some comments from listeners as we take their thoughts. We do our pre show every day. We said, look, we can't take all this in the 15 minutes that we're doing this, but we will take some on the air.
It's so on Day-Day, Twitch and YouTube about 11 to 11:15. We give you a heads up on social media when it's dropping.
Day-Day, I want you to ask us these questions. This is from Atlanta talking about the Falcons facing the Bills. So what's the first one?
All right. The last time we played Buffalo, we were talently outmatched by them, but we played a close game when they had a much better team in Buffalo than we do now. This Falcon team has a lot more talent on both sides of the ball now, and we're playing at home coming off of a bye week. Plus, being a team that Buffalo has in their mind thinking that we have no choice of beating them, have no chance of beating them, we can surprise the league on Monday night. And that is from Trill Villa 5, and that was on YouTube.
Okay. First of all, thanks for listening and watching us on YouTube. We do it, as Mike said, every morning. So he is basically saying that coming off the bye week, right, is the plus.
Yes.
That's the kicker. Mike, how many times have we talked about coaches having their teams ready, coming out of the bye week, and how important it is? Remember
something Dan Quinn sometimes would struggle with, which drove us crazy. That's supposed to look like coming out of the bye.
That's the thing. So I agree with him. Like, you had a chance to make all the adjustments. I don't know about the health. We'll find out more tomorrow when we get there. Hopefully A.J. Terrell is going to play. He's going to practice, at least coach said this week. But coming out of the bye is a big part of this. It's not just we played Sunday, we won or lost. You had an extra week to prepare. Coaches, what is your game plan? You had an extra week to do all the extra things. These guys better be ready. And so I agree with him on that from that standpoint, Mike. Like, coming out of the bye is a big deal, especially being at home.
So, again, 17, the last time we went to the playoffs, we beat them 23-17. The last game was 22. That was in the snow, if memory serves correct. A lot of snow up there.
Right. Julio?
That was
Julio?
January 2nd of 2022.
22, okay.
Remember Bo Morgan talking about, like, how crazy it was just getting to the stadium.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, look. It's Josh Allen. It's a team which is on the cusp of the Super Bowl.
17 was the Julio game.
Correct.
I think that
But we've got a lot of stuff which they struggle with. We've got a great run game. We've got two dynamic running backs. We do things that you know, maybe they should be doing. Like, maybe they need to use James Cook the way you use Bijan. That's a them problem. I hope that doesn't happen against us. But they've got some good wide receivers. We've got better wide receivers. You know, and if that's, again, if Mooney is healthy. We've got Pitts. They've got a great tight end. But this is a team that holds the ball a lot. We talked about, Arch brought this up yesterday, time of possession. Turnovers are a key. Flipping the field. No special team screw-ups. Tighten that up. We'll ask Coach Ra about that. But this is one that, you know what? You trusted Parker Romo. He bounced back last week, right? Or 2 weeks ago.
He did. He was perfect.
But this is probably a field goal game if we win it.
Well, he's indoors. He looked good indoors. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Look, I just need him to do his job, Mike. Make field goals. Make extra points. We should be good.
I just wish they were undefeated, as we said. There's things that New England did I think we could even do better.
What's the next one, Dayton?
All right. I don't understand it. I saw the Aints, as bad as they are, give the Bills all they can handle. Also, go. Look at who they played. They haven't been as scary as those teams. Josh Allen is the only thing scary about the Bills. Cook is good, too, but he's not as good as either of our backs.
Right.
I'm not blinded enough to think we will blow out the Bills, but I do expect the Falcons to win this game. If you're scared of the Bills, go look at the teams they've played so far. Look at the Aints game and dig on how the Aints were pushing them around at times. Not scared, and that is MS It for GB on YouTube.
Aight. Not scared.
Saints ran for 189 yards on the Bills. They lost the game, but
with Rattler at quarterback there, he was still able to run for that much.
That's and so to his point, what is his MS?
MS, yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah, thank you for watching us, man, and filling in the question here. That is, you're exactly right. Like, their opponents, Ravens, Jets, bad team. Dolphins, we now know, bad team. Saints, bad team. All ran for almost 150. The only team that didn't was the Dolphins, and they ran for 130. So he's right about that. Like, if you're watching this and you're going, man, the Bills, Saints handled their business. They just don't have finishers on that team. They don't have a confident quarterback when you get in the red zone that he's going to push it in the end zone, and Buffalo knew that. But they ran the ball. Guys, if we run the ball that way, Mike's right. We control the clock. You keep him off the field. That's how you control this game. If you're worried about Josh Allen, keep him off the field. Go on 10, 12, 15 play drives, Mike. Punch it in. You're putting a big hurt into what they want to do offensively.
The number's 4.5. It was 5.5 at one point earlier in the week.
It came down.
Yeah, the Dimers business model for you gambling degenerates. Buffalo's got a 67% chance to win in their mind. But again, some of that is bias based on the brand of the Buffalo. The betting public doesn't know who we are. But again, if we do those, here's the thing. I would say to one of the callers and texters, we do have to play a damn near perfect game. The Buffalo's better than us. I mean, we haven't been anywhere close to where they are. We haven't been in the playoffs in 7 years. Josh Allen is the MVP now. We could have been either one between him and Lamar Jackson, and Michael Penix Jr. is still asserting himself in this league. So there's a reason we're the underdog. I'm not trying to make this like we've got pom-poms here.
You're right.
We've got to play perfect. We're going to have to play a damn near perfect game.
All right, Day-Day, one more, and then we'll find out what's on Day-Day's mind. By the way, 4 o'clock hour, we will let you hear what Deion had to say about the whole Shedeur Sanders situation with the Browns. They are a non-committal as to him being the backup behind Dylan Gabriel, and we found out today that Flacco is going to start Sunday against the Packers, wasting no time. All right, Day-Day, give us one more.
All right, I'm going into this game with the expectation that the Falcons will take the L. However, if the Falcons can run
the ball, there's some positivity.
Right. If the Falcons can run the ball well, anything can happen. As Bijan goes, so do the Dirty Birds. I know the Falcons can win, but the probability is low. Yeah. This will be a great litmus test for the A. With the Falcons, it's always a good strategy to hope for the best, but expect the worst. That is from ATL_fan81.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Carl, there's a classic example of Atlantaitis. You know, we did give the scenario. We do agree we got to play near perfect. But Bijan, as a whole, not just running, he's got to catch the football again. You got to use the imagination, right? Or how much imaginative is Zach Robinson going to be with the play call?
Yeah, and the angst Okay, I understand that. I don't necessarily agree with it because at the end where he says it's always a good strategy to hope for the best but expect the worst, that's what has to change. That attitude has to change. Now, it's not our job, like Mike and I, to change that. You know whose job that is? It's the Falcons' job.
Right.
They have to change that perception that when we get in these games, we win them. When we're close, we finish. We have a shot in every game, and this is not going to be what it was. For years, and this is the example I will tell you guys, and I know it's hard to believe because they won for 20 years. The Patriots were hot garbage for 30 years. They went to a Super Bowl in the mid-80s and got blown out by the best Bears team in the history of the Chicago Bears. Nobody remembers them. And then they were in no man's land through the late 80s into the 90s. And then all of a sudden in 2000, they get a guy named Tom Brady. My point here is they completely changed the narrative where once they got in those games in 05, 06, 07, 08, you were like, Patriots going to win. For years, Patriots fans said, man, we don't have a shot. Right. We ain't got a good team, man. We ain't going to never win anything. That's where we are. So until that changes, it's not Mike and I's deal to change it. They got to change it for us. But I understand that, Mike. And I hate it because that is the attitude because we have been let down. But we're not the only franchise.
Right. But again, as we said, you know, how do you look at the Carolina game? I mean, you can't have the coaching staff or, you know, as fans, we can say throw away the tape. Guy lost his job over that game. Ike Hilliard lost his job over that. So, I mean, you know, for us to say, yeah, just scrap it, you know, bad games happen, well then, what are we doing? You know, why are we, could we be 3-1? See, there's things about the franchise, the big picture, that fans don't trust, and I understand it because sometimes Coach Raheem Morris and his staff don't give you the things to give them the benefit of the doubt. Why didn't you have your team out there in preseason? Why didn't Zach experiment with being on the sideline? All that stuff adds up. And that's why I think some fans, and it's your right as a fan, you can feel any way you want, but until the Falcons do the things that Carl just said, that Falcon or Atlanta-itis thing is going to linger.
Atlanta United season's winding down, guys. Join our man Jason Longshore covering not only Atlanta United but all soccer, international soccer as well. Tuesday nights for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. It's brought to you by our local Ford dealer. Tuesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, Day-Day, his What's on Day-Day's Mind's coming up. Also, we'll get into some college football conversation, some really good stuff in regards to some games this weekend. Dogs and Georgia Tech, front and center. Can't have a letdown from either one of them. We'll get into that coming up in less than 20 minutes. It's Dukes and Bell.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Another brother just showed up. He's 5 minutes away as well. We
literally
are here at Buffalo's Cafe. He just came in. I said, hey, how far you live? Literally 3 minutes away.
I mean, based on population density, there should be a million people living in Hiram.
It's no doubt. You know? It's crazy, man. Thank you for coming out here, man. We appreciate seeing you. It's funny. He walked up, started asking for people by name. I was like, somebody owes this man money. My goodness.
I thought I was going to get served or something. I wasn't sure.
Where is Bell?
Yeah. What? Me? Who?
Who's Dukes?
Yeah.
Okay. Where is the turtle? What? No, sir. He's at night now. He's at night.
Hey, it's turtle.
All right, man. Coming up, we are going to talk more about our Falcons. Thanks for those questions, man. We got to do more of that, Day-Day, for you guys that pose questions to us. We know you watch the pre-show, and we, like we said, we can't get to all of those, but we wanted to share some of that stuff because I do think there's a little bit of fear that's going on just because of the big bad Bills, but Mike is right. They are perceived to be better. They have been better. Their franchises right now seems to be in a better place just right because they're winning and competing late in the playoffs.
Despite that loss to the Patriots, the way the Chiefs look and the way the AFC is set up, and Lamar Jackson, who's been another, is one of their boogeymen, you know, this is setting up for them to go make a run.
That's right.
And maybe they make a trade before the deadline to beef up the skill positions. I don't know how they approach it or to help their defense. Because one thing I think we can do, we just talked about it, we can run the football. And they don't do a great job of stopping the run. But, yeah. And by the way, you got to, as Carl says, we keep receipts. So if you are a believer,
yeah,
state your case. Because I don't want to hear like the – we will get the bandwagon if we do win on Monday night.
Big
coming
time
up on Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah. Tuesday will be our Monday, and it's going to be a victory Tuesday, man. That's how I feel. If we take advantage of this Monday night, it sets us up for
right
a potential run, Mike. that we need to go on.
Always knew these first, you know, 5 or 6 weeks are going to be tough. We always knew with the schedule. It was, some folks had us at 2-3, 3-2, and everyone's got their own vibe on this. But, hey, you know what? Your record is a reflection of where we are. We did some really good things. We did some really dumb things in the first quarter of the season.
All right. Want to remind you guys, Barbara Dooley normally joins us on Thursdays. She is going to join us coming up here at 4 o'clock today. We moved her up. So we're going to talk to Barbara about this Auburn game. You will want to stay tuned. She is always a treat. But that's going to happen at 4 o'clock right now. Day-Day, what's going on, man? What's on your mind?
Well, the first thing is on my mind, and this was the first thing on my mind this morning because it's the last thing I saw last night.
Here's the pitch. High fly ball, deep left field. Down the left field line. It is off the fair pole. Hey now. Hey now. Hey now.
Don't shake your head, Carl Dukes.
Don't look at me that way, Mike Bell. Yes.
I hate the Yankees.
The Yankees had one of the most entertaining postseason game comebacks I've ever seen.
They win the World Series, Carl? They win the World Series?
No, they did not. I'm piling it on, gentlemen.
10 minutes on SportsCenter. I was at Ticker Tape Parade.
After trailing 6-1, heading into the bottom of the third inning,
boom.
They didn't get within 3 runs of the Blue Jays after an Aaron Judge RBI double and then a Giancarlo Stanton sack fly. Then, in the bottom of the fourth,
an A-bomb from A-Rod
up again with two on and wham, 3-run home run to tie the game. And then the bottom of the fifth, they take the lead off a Jazz Chisholm solo shot going up 7-6, and they never look back.
Yeah,
Mike
Chisholm
Bell
with the bat flip after he lets a run score by falling asleep on second base early.
Yeah,
that guy's got to get his head in the game too. No. But here's the thing. Is this one of those games where, wow, we completely blew a 6-1 lead?
Yes, it is.
Or can they shake it off and just get right back on track with Schlittler, be careful how you pronounce it, the rookie getting on the bump.
Yeah, I really think it's all jokes aside, and I know I told you guys the other day, which you were so shocked and appalled, Mike, that I am a Yankees fan. Stop it. But all jokes aside.
Day-Day's also bi-coastal.
I am. All jokes aside, though, I'm sitting here watching this game last night, and I'm just like, they needed that so bad. And MLB needed that so bad, if we're honest with each other. Come on now.
Well, everything else is pretty much great.
One of the things that MLB struggles with is people watching the games, even in the postseason.
Nationally. Regionally, yes.
Nationally. So, I mean, that actually probably was a good thing. I know there's a lot of Yankee haters out there. I had so many on my Facebook timeline.
Because it's easy to hate them.
Not for me. I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, like, unfortunately, MLB needs this from the Yankees. And honestly, you kind of need the Phillies to kind of get their stuff together.
I want to see Seattle do their thing. I mean, I don't know if Seattle will move the needle nationally to Day-Day's point. A Dodgers-Yankees rematch probably be the best ratings outcome. But a team like Milwaukee is always in the shadow of Chicago, about to put them under. That's an interesting story. But I just love the Cal Raleigh. More on him coming up in Guy Talk.
Baseball got lucky. They got great baseball cities in these playoffs. Mm-hmm. Not to include us. We'd love to be in it. But obviously Detroit is a great baseball city. If you're not familiar, don't know the history, great baseball city. Seattle is the Mike's right, the surprise team and like the one that you might be rooting for just because it's so different. But Milwaukee, Chicago, Philly, and LA, like, to your point, Day-Day, baseball needed this, but they also need, I think, also to Mike's point, and that is the bigger brands to win out. Yep. This is sort of like the NCAA tournament, right? Where, you know, first round, wild card, okay, this is fun. Yeah,
you don't need any George Masons, I should say.
Right. You don't.
You want to see Duke and Carolina.
And we're getting to that point where it might pan out. Like, Toronto is a great team. Guerrero's an unbelievable player. Do they really want Toronto? Yeah. And they don't have a choice. And for those of you who think this is fixed, it's not. I'm just simply saying, like, if MLB had its choice, I agree. I think the Yankees would draw and people would root against them. So did you watch that game last night with your shirt off? That is my question.
No, I did not.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I don't know how how much you were involved exactly. Were you sitting there waving your shirt last night?
I wasn't that involved.
Okay, all right.
All right, moving on.
I mean, the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Heritage, you should be a Mets fan, even though as awful as they are, and their fan base, Carl. But, I mean, two words for you. Jackie Robinson. Yeah. Thank you, Day-Day.
All right.
Thank you,
right.
Carl.
Okay. All right, guys. On Sunday, Patrick Mahomes.
When did the Yankees get a black player, Carl?
Way after that.
Thank you. Way after. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right, guys. On Sunday, Patrick Mahomes can pass Aaron Rodgers as the fastest to 300 touchdown passes with his next scoring throw.
Okay.
So I immediately jumped on my site to see if I can find any odds on, like, who the throw may go to
right.
and things of that nature. I couldn't find anything. That was this morning. I haven't looked since. But what do you guys think, man? Who catches that first if he does it?
Kelsey.
Got to be Kelsey. I mean, odds. If he was odds, Kelsey would be probably 5-2.
So you think Kelsey will be the odds favorite?
Yeah, they're tied at the hit. Who's it going to be, Hollywood Brown? I mean, like, seriously.
Or Xavier. Could be Xavier.
It could be. I just feel like if they know, and they do, mm-hmm. because these guys keep up with all this stuff, they act like they don't. Oh, really? I could break the record on Sunday? I didn't know that. He'll be looking to Travis to make the play because they're going to be forever connected, man. Like, they've won chips. They're boys. You know, you see his wife. Now you see Taylor Swift hanging out together. Like, I just think that's probably the natural thing. But they also know, like, that's where probably all the odds are going to go. And you might be right. I mean, it could be somebody else. Pacheco catches it out of the backfield.
Right.
And everybody's betting Travis. But I would say Travis would be the guy. Just because if I think they are aware, how many yards you need? Man, it's not yards. I just need you to catch it.
Right.
Okay. Second play of the game, I'm going to change it. We're going to go together.
Right.
Like, it could easily happen that way.
What do you think, Mike? Who do you think?
No, I think Kelsey would be the odds-on favorite. I mean, like I said, that's what makes the Chiefs so interesting or uninteresting, for depending if you're sick of them, Carl, as we talked about after the other night. But after watching them lose to Jacksonville, is the familiarity. I think there is a fatigue factor. You know, I think it's palpable that people are over the Chiefs, especially when you throw in the referee stuff. But
do you think they get they don't cheat for them? They don't cheat for them, right?
It just seems like the Chiefs have become a brand. And, you know, whether, you know, it's not like the Bulls, but, you know, Patrick Mahomes is a star. He's on every – when you're watching an NFL game, Patrick Mahomes is on every other commercial. So, I mean, I understand why the conspiracy theorists feel – and when you're watching, they're generally on the national game, so more people are watching. And it just seems like – look, the game with us last year where Kyle Pitts gets mugged in the end zone. You know, we've seen it. We've seen it happen in the playoffs on the biggest stage. Jacksonville was lucky to get away with what the refs, even though they had 100 yards in penalties, the refs missed two big plays against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I'll go with Carl. I'll go with Kelsey.
All right. Well, shout out to our guy, Dom. He's listening. Dom Chorowski. He says he thinks it's going to go to Tyquan Thornton.
The Dominator thinks what?
Tyquan Thornton? What's the odds? Okay, that's being nice.
Okay, you know what? He's got inside information.
What's that, -7? That'd be like minus, no, check that, plus 800.
Yeah, really?
I mean, 1,800.
What are the odds of that?
Right.
I agree with you on the Kelsey for the simple fact that the likelihood of this being Kelsey's final year.
Season,
yeah.
I think there's going to be something, to your point, you know, special about him being the one to make the catch on his final year. All right, last one. I think everybody in here probably goes to concerts. Not sure what the wildest thing you've seen, you know, the act performing do. But I thought this was rather interesting from you guys familiar with Logic, the rapper Logic? All right, well, here's him at one of his most recent shows.
Okay.
Hold on, are you on your phone texting as I am giving my all? Get this. Don't boo him. Don't boo him. Who are you texting? Your lady. Okay, you're all right. Okay. You what'd you say? Is it my bad? It's all good. It's your girl. Do you love her? Oh, okay. He loves it. All right. I feel that. Okay. What's your name? Daniel? You think you can do me a favor and pay attention in the front seat and not be on your phone for a second? All right. Let's try this one more time. I'll show you how hard it is.
So, he literally stops mid-rap, drills this guy about, you know, you're texting him. And the thing about it, the guy was right in – because the way the show was set up, like the front row seats – were like right there, but they weren't like right up on the stage. It looked like more of an intimate type of venue.
Yeah.
And so I guess he just...
Even more reason to not be on your phone.
Yeah, and the guy's sitting there and he just catches him and just stops mid.
Carl and I had this conversation dating a couple years ago about going to concerts when Carl went and saw Dave Chappelle in Vegas and they had the lock bag for everyone's cell phone. And I said, you know, when I go to concerts, same thing when I go to a Formula One race, here comes the turn one and everyone's got their phones up. So it's a sea of hands holding phones. Who are you going to show that to? Here's what the first corner looked like. You're not going to show it to anybody. You're going to sit down and get back to your house and let me relive the It's a waste to just be in the moment. And that's why when I'm at sporting events now, I'll take the obligatory selfie with a beer or my drink. Okay, I'm at the game. Now I'm watching the event. Same thing goes for a concert. So good for Logic for putting that out there. Because and our artists hate, and they talk about this, you see, from the smallest to the biggest names, Carl, looking out and seeing a sea of phones while they're performing.
Yeah.
I don't, be in the moment, man.
I don't.
The artist is putting it out there.
No doubt. And the sporting events, it's Mike's right about that. Like, I want to enjoy the game. I don't do a whole lot of that. If I'm posting about specific plays and things that happen. Mm. But that Chappelle thing, that was like 18. This was way before anybody was taking phones. And I got to tell you guys, so we get tickets. My buddy gets tickets. We go to this show. We're walking in. I think it was like Mandalay Bay Arena where they have fights and stuff. And we go in, and there were people wigging out about putting their phone in a bag and having it locked because they lock it. It's the bag is with you.
Right.
But you have to go back out and have them unlock it for you to get your phone out.
Right.
And it was the first time. So they were like, hey, if you don't want your phone locked up, you're not coming in the show. And there were literally, I heard a woman say, well, what if I have to get in contact with my kids? And the guy, the security guy goes, well, ma'am, I guess you're not coming in the show. Like, you had to make a decision.
Right.
Now I think it's a lot more commonplace because more artists have picked up on this. Comedians don't want you basically filming their stuff and putting it out there.
Yeah. Right.
But Chappelle was way ahead of this. But we go into the show, best show, because everybody was right here. Everybody's watching.
Right.
Everybody's attentive. Nobody was distracted with the BS of the phone. So, man, I love that from Logic.
Yeah, and to your point about that, I don't know if you guys remember. I think it was LeBron James recently when he was getting ready to break maybe Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's
scoring record.
Right. Yeah. Someone took a picture of the crowd. There's this picture out there of the crowd.
People with their phones.
Everyone's up with the phone, but this older gentleman, and he's sitting in his seat front row watching.
Right.
And the comments were, he's going to be the only one that really has that memory in
correct.
Because everyone else is holding their phone.
Right. That's Carl and I were out in Vegas. Guns N' Roses play. They just reunited. I want to experience it. You know, immerse, be out there. And as I said, and there's nothing worse also than seeing people taller than you, Carl, holding the phones. Because now you're not even seeing things. You're seeing it through a camera.
Oh, well, that's what's on my mind on a hump day.
Great stuff, man.
Right on.
Coming up, Barbara Dooley's on the way. What does she have to say about Auburn? This is a big game for them. And the Dogs have some issues up front. And the secondary, Kirby even said it's a work in progress. We're going to talk to the lovely and talented Barbara Dooley next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.